You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, musical, muscular, and or mustache muchachos, mud skippers, and muffins. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 34, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your orating orchestra of original organisms orbiting ortolans. Yummy.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Muffin. I mean Chris.
So I want to ask you guys, I learned something pretty interesting over the week. Do you guys know what an interrobang is?
Yes.
Well, how does everybody know this?
I don't know what it is.
Because I'm like a grammar and editing nerd.
Yeah,
interrobang.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it an exclamation mark?
It's an exclamation mark
combined with a question mark.
There is actual symbol that is the merging of an exclamation point with a question mark.
Right. In an old school font setting, you didn't actually call it an exclamation mark. They would call it a bang.
Right. Interrogation. Yeah. Imagine what they would look like when you put them on top of each other.
So you can do it on typewriter, like back up one space and type it again. Didn't really catch on.
No, now they just put them next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the symbol of my life. Like, what?
It is.
Yeah.
That's Karen's symbol as an interrogation.
That'd be on my tombstone.
Now the official punctuation mark of Good Job Brain.
I thought it was like sexy spies do it.
It's called the Mata Hari.
In our last episode, we had a listener challenge. Remember that?
Indeed.
About our crazy weekend. And what I did was describe our adventures.
Which were not true.
Not true.
What?
Didn't actually happen.
Turns out all of the strange things that happened to us are movie plots from movies that actually have numbers in their titles. So I asked you guys, the listeners, how would you sum up our adventure? And a lot of people wrote in and got it right. And here I'm going to read an email from listener Joe Feheron, who sent in the answer. And he says, wow, you guys sound like you had a rough trip. It must have been hard to travel to the wedding with all of Dana's 27 dresses.
I bring all of them.
And that derailed train with the alien? How freaky. I hope you caught it on digital video and not some old Super 8 camera. I guess it was a good thing that Chris did so well in the rap battle on that 8-mile road. Just when you thought your luck was turning around, out popped the London undead. Your patient hiding in the underground ended with the zombies leaving only 28 days later. But then somehow you ended up searching for 7 samurai to defend that village. And to top it all off, you guys almost were kicked out of the casino in Vegas. Luckily, you're all over the age of 21. I guess if I had to sum it all up, I'd say your trip was full of challenges. But once again, you proved that though you had 99 problems, trivia ain't one. Okay. So the answer was 99. Good job, everybody who wrote it. So spirited. So into the story.
Actually, when I solved this puzzle, I emailed you the IMDb link for the movie 99.
And some people did too.
Okay.
And we're all very impressed.
Yeah. Good job, Chris, and everyone else. And we contacted the winner, so
I'm not
congratulations.
Eligible for the prize.
No, you are not. So here we go. We're doing an all quiz today. So this is our all quiz number 7. So today we all made up our own quiz segment to stump each other. But we're going to first start off with our usual general trivia segment, which is Pop Quiz Hotshot. Here I have my random Trivial Pursuit card. A lot of these questions are about alcohol. Oh, well, let's...
So we should do real well.
Really well.
I see no problem with that.
Blue Wedge Geography. What Japanese city is home to a world-famous snow festival and shares its name with a popular beer? Oh, that was Colin first.
I believe it's Sapporo.
Yes, Sapporo. Pop Culture Pink Wedge. What infomercial star promoted the Mighty Putty, OxyClean, and Orange Glow? That was Colin again.
Is it the late, great Billy Mays?
Billy Mays. Nice. Yellow Wedge. When were the first Oscars awarded? And it's multiple choice. 1918, 1929, or 1936? Dana.
Is it 1929?
Yes, correct. 1929. Always go with the middle answer.
Yeah. Oh.
For real.
Purple Wedge. Who visualized a dream caused by the flight of a bee around a pomegranate a second before awakening in 1944? I'm not really sure what this is asking.
Is it the name of a painting?
Is that
it's a title? Dream caused by a flight of a bee around a pomegranate a second before awakening. Colin,
I think that's a Dali.
Correct, Salvador Dali. All right, Green Wedge for science. What do solar flares cause in the northern hemisphere? Chris,
the aurora borealis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Last question, Orange Wedge. What ingredient gives sambuca, ouzo, and pastis their distinctive flavor?
Is it anise or black licorice?
It is anise, yes. Sambuca, ouzo, and pastis are all or alcohol that is flavored with anise and tastes like licorice.
Those are the ones that always come late in the drinking evening for me.
You don't start off with the ouzo.
Yeah. Hey guys, bring some free gaming for the concert. Got the sambuca!
Yeah, as the night wears on, it becomes a better and better idea.
Yeah.
What's left?
This is going to be the best New Kids on the Block reunion tour ever.
All right, all quiz. Who wants to go first?
All right, so I don't know about you guys, but one of my favorite ways of traveling is road trip.
What you say?
Love getting out in the car and driving around. And as a kid, it was always, you know, a big deal for us, me and my sister, to see who could spot the most out-of-state license plates.
Oh.
And I still play this game, even when
Do
I'm out on road
each
trips.
Other?
Well, yeah, so there are many variations. We would play sometimes, you know, the punching. You can also do it if you have, like, your sweetheart. You can trade them for kisses. You know, there's lots of ways you can spin it. You can go the whole gamut from affection to violence with this game. So as a kid, and again, even now, one of the things I loved was not just seeing the out-of-state plates, but is the slogans and the state mottos on the out-of-state plates, which, you know, range from the sublime to the ridiculous. So I have prepared a quiz for you guys, which will reward your eagle-eyedness. Oh, yeah. And it is license plate slogans from around this great country of ours. This could be from any of the states. I think you guys will do better than you might think, Karen.
Okay.
All right. The Silver State. Dana.
Oh, is it Nevada?
It is Nevada.
Oh, okay.
That's right. That's right.
I thought it was like, because California is the golden state, I was like, okay, what's number two?
I don't think they would look at it that way.
Okay.
Right, yeah, you know, and a lot of these are based on what's big in tourism or what's big in natural resources or some historical event. And yeah, Nevada is a lot of silver mines. So the silver state. Okay. Land of Lincoln. Chris,
Illinois.
It is Illinois.
Oh.
Land of Lincoln.
Is he from Illinois? Is that why?
Yeah,
yes, indeed.
I like how you guys are like,
He built a log cabin with his own bare hands that he was born in.
They claim him. Yes.
Strong fetus.
He is amazing. The Evergreen State. Dana.
Is it Washington?
It is Washington.
Oh.
Washington State. That's right. Great faces, great places. Now, you think about this one.
Yeah.
Karen.
South Dakota, only because Mount Rushmore is
Absolutely there? Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah, and the background image is, in fact, Mount Rushmore. So
that's great.
That's great. Good one. This is probably the most dramatic one. Live free or die.
Nice.
Chris.
New Hampshire.
It is New Hampshire. Yeah. Okay. And I always like to put this one in contrast. So after live free or die. Famous potatoes.
Perfect.
That was a tie. Dana.
Idaho.
Idaho, in fact. Yes. So that's the range. And, of course, George Carlin noted this in a famous routine of his.
I wonder if Bruce Willis should get a New Hampshire license plate.
And he just handwrites in hard for each one. Yeah. Taxation without representation. Dana.
Washington, D.C.?
It is Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That is their not-so-subtle protest.
Yeah.
It's really... that is by far the most passive-aggressive license plate slogan.
The most passive-aggressive license plate slogan since, hey, the big white thing is the dishwasher. Rhode Island.
Birthplace of aviation. Karen.
Is it Ohio?
It is Ohio.
Because the Wright brothers are from there.
Yes, the Wright brothers are from there. Now, however, another state has on their license plates first in flight, which is... North Carolina. Oh, yeah, which is where Kitty Hawk was.
Yeah. Yeah.
This even spilled over onto their quarter designs. You know, remember they had those custom state quarters? Yeah, one of them claims first in flight because the flight was actually there, but Ohio claims them because all their Wright labs brothers. And all of, they were based in Ohio.
Oh.
All right. Well, you guys did pretty well.
Yeah.
Good
man,
job.
I thought I was going to bomb that one.
Well, speaking of road trips, I have a quiz called Whose Burger Is It Anyway? in which we will run over various fast food restaurants, and I will tell you a certain type of hamburger that is served in this restaurant.
A signature burger, if you will.
And you will have to tell me the restaurant that it is served at. This was inspired, by the way, by a bizarre headline. I don't know if you recently saw that a gallon jug of McJordan sauce was recently put up on eBay. Yeah. So back in the early 90s, McDonald's introduced the McJordan burger, which was, it had like bacon and barbecue sauce on it, basically.
Yep.
But it was to capitalize in the national, you know, fame of Chicago Bulls basketball star, Michael Jordan. And a McDonald's franchisee apparently saved a gallon jug of the barbecue sauce, which was labeled McJordan barbecue sauce, and saved it long these many years, decided to sell it on eBay as a crossover collectible, both to McDonald's collectors and to Michael Jordan collectors. He got a bid of just under $10,000.
Yeah. Wow.
But we don't know if he actually got the money from that or not yet. I'm not really sure if the money changed hands, but yeah.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but that is super rare.
Yeah, well, apparently he had it for sale for a while. This was not his first attempt to sell it. So demand may not be as high as you think. I think he
imagined that it would be worth a bunch of money, but yeah, it's exactly. It's like, even if you are a big basketball collector. but anyway, the McJordan was a burger that McDonald's served. So let's move on to some more burgers, and we'll see how you guys do. These are past and present. If you hear a blank in the name of the sandwich, that is because whatever was there would identify it too much.
Got it.
The Arch Deluxe. Karen. It was all at the same time.
Doesn't feel that special. That was McDonald's, and the Arch Deluxe had ranch in it, right?
It didn't have ranch on it. It was fancy for grown-ups. It had a mayo mustard sauce. Not a fancier.
Yeah, because I remember they were advertising it. It's like, oh, it's not for kids. It's for adults.
Exactly. Right. It was a failure. It didn't have to make an upscale seeming burger. But as it turns out, adults just wanted regular McDonald's burgers.
It was a solution in search of a problem, as we like to say.
The Baconator. Dana.
Is that Jack in the Box?
It's not Jack in the Box. Colin?
I think it was Wendy's.
It is. Wendy's has the Baconator. Yeah. What is the Baconator?
Two patties and like four strips of bacon.
It's a bunch. Yeah.
They're very specific about the number of strips of bacon, lest you feel you were shortchanged.
Double burger with a whole lot of bacon. the Big and Tasty. The Big and Tasty. Colin?
I think that was also McDonald's.
It was also McDonald's, but what was it?
Oh, gosh.
What is it? It's still served in places.
Big and Tasty.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pass. I'm going to draw on blank.
Anybody know? Mm-mm. The Big and Tasty is McDonald's answer to the Whopper. It is a burger with a larger diameter, basically, a Whopper size.
Oh, that is what the Whopper, what makes the Whopper special? Is it the bigger patty?
Yes. It's a patty of larger diameter and bun of larger diameter. Hmm. Yeah. How about the $6 burger? So many. Colin?
That's Carl's Jr.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is Carl's Jr. What is the Hardee's equivalent of the $6 burger?
Oh. That's right, because it's regional.
The $6 burger.
Hardee's calls their burgers the Thick Burgers, the Monster Thick Burgers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the same products and some slightly different names. How about the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger? Karen?
Burger King?
It's not Burger King. Colin?
I think it's Wendy's.
Wendy's has the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Wendy's was actually the first of the fast food chains to introduce the 99-cent value menu.
Huh.
Yeah, that was an innovation that everybody ended up taking from Wendy's.
Yeah,
that has become the business model now.
It certainly has, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a stroke of genius.
The Rodeo Cheeseburger.
Rodeo.
Rodeo cheeseburger.
Rodeo.
Yes. Which is a Western. Not Rodeo cheeseburger. It's not a fancy cheeseburger served. How about Colin?
I'll guess Carl's Jr.
It's actually Burger King. And the Rodeo cheeseburger has onion rings and barbecue sauce.
Oh,
on
yeah.
It. Yes. Okay. The blank DLT. Colin. Oh,
that was the McDLT.
Yes. Yeah. What was so interesting about the McDLT?
That was the one, I think, that had the special container that kept the hot side hot and the cool side cool.
Absolutely.
And so they would put the meat and the bun and the cheese on one side and the lettuce and the tomato were on the other side.
Yep.
Because apparently people were just complaining left and right about wilted vegetables on their burger. But I remember just thinking, like, at the time, like, mm-hmm. Wait, so the gimmick of the burger is the package, not the burger itself.
Wait, so you have to construct it yourself then?
Yeah. Oh. You just take the top and the bun part off the one side and put it on the other.
Right.
But
right.
It keeps the lettuce and the tomatoes away from the patty until you're ready to combine the two
of
them.
It's like for people who have OCD.
Also, it had a double-sized styrofoam container.
Yeah, and I remember that killed them when they...
It did. It actually was one of the reasons, because it was just coming up at the time when people were complaining that McDonald's used too much styrofoam, and this had a huge styrofoam container, so they got rid of it. Colin, what was the Big 33?
Ooh, the Big 33. I'm going to guess it was like they had to go above the quarter pound, so I don't know.
think of the number 33 in sports.
Oh, okay. So it was something in Boston?
Yeah, you're getting there.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
It came out simultaneously at McDonald's with the McJordan.
Ah.
It was the Larry Bird named burger that they had during
What's
that
in
promotion.
It?
Bird.
I think it's the exact same burger, actually. Oh, they just called it different things in different territories.
It should have been made with chicken.
No, I think
that's cute.
I think it was different. I believe that like the whole thing with the Jordan
it's
one
green.
Was like that was like his favorite recipe.
Oh, okay.
So
I wouldn't be
surprised if
wrong.
the bird one maybe was
historical
Larry Bird's
documents
favorite.
Are sketchy. Animal style.
In-N-Out.
Yes, it's from In-N-Out's not so secret menu.
Yes,
it's not printed at the restaurants, but it is online. Finally, the Hula Burger.
I know what's on it.
I don't. Yeah.
Who had the Hula Burger? This is old. Karen.
I'm going to say McDonald's.
It is McDonald's.
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
It was actually just the pineapple. There was no meat in it, right?
Yep, you're right.
Because it was for vegetarian.
So the Hula Burger was actually, it was this idea of there were a lot of Catholics who did not eat beef on Fridays. And so Ray Kroc, founder of McDonald's, thought we have to do something for them. So it was the Hula Burger, and it was a slice of pineapple with cheese melted onto it, replacing the meat, which proved not popular. but the filet of fish, which was come up with, I believe, by a franchisee, not McDonald's corporate, turned out to be the Catholics who couldn't eat meat on Fridays.
That's really interesting.
I
would actually try that. That sounds good, the pineapple and cheese.
Put some barbecue sauce
sounds,
on it.
Sounds pretty gross to me.
Really?
I'm having a little weird
But that's
there.
Like a Hawaiian pizza.
McDonald's cheese melted over. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll try it later.
Hawaiian pizza.
I am once again hungry after a quiz.
I know. Yeah. It's always like this. Boo.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, my turn, and I've said this on the podcast before, and you guys know this about me, is I'm a big fan of movie soundtracks, but that also includes movie scores.
Right.
So we've done a lot of music quizzes where we had what you call, Chris, the needle drop, right? Having like a famous song for a famous scene, but we haven't done one with movie scores yet.
Nice.
So here I have a list of some of my favorite, iconic movie scores.
I like that.
And, The thing is, I did not include anything from John Williams, so that's out of the I feel like that is too easy. Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, Star Wars.
Whoa. Jaws.
Yep. Yeah. Those are way too iconic. But okay. But these, I'm sure when you hear it, you'll be like, oh, I totally
So we're buzzing in with the movie.
Yes. Okay. Please provide me the movie title of these movie scores. And here we go. This is the first one.
I started to feel like I was going to know it, and then it ended, and I was like, oh.
Colin.
Was that Dark Knight?
Correct. It was Dark Knight.
Wow. It was right on the tip of knowing.
Yeah, it just kind of flashed right at the very end. I'm like, oh, I could just picture him riding down the... Yeah.
Those two notes. Very, very iconic. Good job. All right, here we go. The next one. Does it sound familiar?
It does sound really familiar. Is it The Lion King?
Correct. Yeah. It is The Lion King. Oh, okay. A good mix of Hans Zimmer, very famous composer for a lot of music stuff, who also did The Dark Knight. For Lion King, he teamed up with Lebo M., who was an African composer. So they would have these hybrids of very beautiful orchestral pieces mixed in with kind of the African chanting and the tribal sound. Hmm. And that was when Simba became the rightful king. Here's number three. Chris.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. Mm. I would say specify which movie, but this theme is used in all four. Can you name me all four full titles of the Pirates movies?
Okay.
We can work together.
Okay. So Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Okay. Correct. First one.
There's World's End.
At World's End. There's On Stranger Tides. And then there's...
It was just the first one, right?
I mean, Curse of the Black Pearl, I think.
That's right.
Dead Man's Chest.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Here we go. Another one. You guys are all smiling.
Is it The Sting?
Yes. Right. Yes. The Sting.
Marvin Hamlisch is the entertainer.
Yes, right. Very famous. The Sting starring...
Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Yep.
Best Picture, 1973.
Whoa. Whoa! Bonus points. Jeez. Next one. Bit of clarification for this one. This is technically not in the score of the movie. This was probably kind of like a needle drop where it was a song that was used in specific scenes. Famous dancing tango scene.
Dirty Dancing.
Incorrect. It was used in Scent of a Woman. And the other movie is True Lies with Jamie Lee Curtis and Arnold Schwarzenegger dancing at the at the end.
I wasn't allowed to watch that movie when it came out.
And the last one. Colin?
Oh, was that Daft Punk from the Tron movie?
Yes, it was Tron Legacy.
Oh, it was?
Yep, it was. And the whole score of the Tron Legacy movie was all done by Daft Punk. Mm-hmm. This one is an example of the techno ones, and not all of them are techno sounding. There are a lot of beautiful orchestral, like violin and string pieces that Daft Punk also composed. So very cool. The whole movie.
Nice.
Composed by Daft Punk. So, of course, I did not have John Williams on the list because I figured that was pretty easy.
Well, he covers half of all movies ever made.
A lot. John Williams, just so iconic. And so I actually looked up the top five movie scores from the American Film Institute, AFI's top list.
Okay.
Can you guys guess, not necessarily in order, what the top five movie scores are? And keep in mind, this is like out of 100 years.
Right, right. Mm. I'm gonna guess Star Wars is on.
Yeah. I figure Star Wars is up
Star
there.
Wars is number one.
Okay, yeah. All right. Is
Jaws?
Is the Jaws?
No,
really? Mm-mm. Is the Godfather on there?
Yes, yeah. Godfather is number five.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Nope.
Is Indiana Jones on there?
Nope. Well, it's on, not in the top five.
It's not in the top five.
So Star Wars is number one.
Jurassic Park.
Mm-mm. Hmm. They're all old. So
okay, right. This is all time.
Casablanca.
Mm-mm, no, number two.
Give us some hints.
Sweeping epic.
Gone with the Wind.
Yep, Gone with the Wind.
It's funny how sweeping epic just means Gone with the Wind.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Number three is Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I can't recall it, but when I went onto YouTube and listened to it, I was like, oh.
It is. It's fun. Yeah. And a lot of these themes are used in other movies too. Yeah.
And number four is Psycho.
Okay.
Huh. And then number five is Godfather. Huh. So there you go. Number one, Star Wars. If that question ever pops up, Star Wars, number one.
That was a good one. I like that. That was a good quiz.
That was my quiz.
It is always like, oh, I know this from somewhere moment.
Okay, well, those were all songs that don't have words. And now my quiz is about songs paying a special attention to the words. And so these are all songs that describe dance moves. And so I'll tell you the lyrics that are describing the dance moves, and then you have to tell me what dance they're describing.
This is fantastic! This is fantastic! I love this! Okay.
Well, I hope it lives up to that excitement. All right, first one. It's just a jump to the left and then a step to the right. With your hands on your hips, you bring your knees in tight, but it's a pelvic thrust that really drives you insane. Karen.
It is the Time Warp from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. You gotta swing your hips now. Come on, baby. Jump up. Jump back.
What?
The Locomotion.
Yes. Do you know who did it originally?
Well, it was written by Carole King, but I don't know.
Really?
Who is it?
Little Eva.
Yes. Little Eva. There you go.
Little Eva originally.
But made famous by Kylie Minogue, right?
Well, I mean, Little Eva made it famous.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Brought back.
First, I limped to the side like my leg was broken, shaking and twitching, kind of like I was smoking.
Ooh.
Do you like the reading?
The hokey pokey.
First, I limped to the side like my leg was broken, shaking and twitching, kind of like I was smoking.
Is it the stanky leg?
No.
Oh.
I don't know.
It's the Humpty Dance.
Oh, yeah. I never knew how to do the Humpty Dance.
I like my oatmeal lumpy.
I put my hand upon your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. Karen.
It is Da Dip by Freak Nasty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, I feel less bad about. I was like, oh, these are like deep cuts of old school.
My favorite part of that song is always that he's like, when I dip, you dip, we dip. He just, I just want to be perfectly clear. You understand how this works.
I do it first, then you do it, and then
by definition, we're doing it together.
Together. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Wait, stop. Now when I'm dipping. What are you
doing? I'll draw you a diagram. I'll draw you a picture.
And then we did, right. God, it was so confusing.
All right. To the left, to the right, to the right, to the front, to the back. Now dip, baby, dip. Karen.
Tootsie Roll. Let me see you do that Tootsie Roll. Not really sure the full title is.
It's Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll, okay, yeah. Okay.
By the
Tootsie
69 Roll. Boys.
69 Boys, yes. Yeah. Spelled with a Z.
Yeah, heel, toe, do-si-do, come on, baby, let's go.
Oh. Mm. Like, I know the words, I just can't. Heel, toe, pass.
I can't retrieve it.
It's the Boot Scootin' Boogie.
Mm. Boot Scootin' Boogie.
By Brooks and Dunn.
Okay.
All right, last one. Move your body if you got the notion, front to back in a rock-like motion. Move your hips from side to side now. Don't you slip, let your feet glide now. If you got the groove, you gotta use it. Rock rhythm and time with the music. You just might start a chain reaction.
Oh, God, what is this? This is something really cheesy.
Yeah.
Is it?
You guys all know this song.
Is it the Bart Man?
This is the Bart Man.
Yes! Yes! Oh, my God, I had that tape.
From The Simpsons, of course.
From The Simpsons, yes. Yes.
Oh.
The Bartman.
I need to listen to that again. That was awesome when I was a kid. Do the Bartman. Very good.
Urkel had a dance, too. There was an episode of Family Matters.
Pull
where
your
Urkel
pants
had his
up
own
to
dance.
Your armpit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yes.
All right, well, we've got Bartman there named after Bart Simpson. I will very clumsily transition into other things that are named after people. So
let me ride there on my segue.
I'm going to continue in the vein of sort of traveling the world that I started with the road trip earlier. I'm going to give you guys the names of countries that are named after people.
Okay.
And now this group is actually a little bit smaller than you might think. There are a lot of countries named after people, but not as many as I thought. So I will name the country, and you name the historical or possibly allegorical person after whom the country is named.
Oh, right. I can't even name one.
I think you can. Yeah. All right, so we'll start with a simple one here. Colombia. Chris.
Christopher Columbus.
Christopher Columbus.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I blanked. I was
probably
like,
the easiest one. Yeah. All right. All right. And I will warn you, there are a couple tricky ones on here. All right. Okay. Bolivia.
I think I know what it is, but is it Simon Bolivar?
It is. Yeah. Simon Bolivar. That's right. Who is a big figure in fighting for independence from Spain. Yes. And technically Venezuela, actually. It's also the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. So he's actually in two countries.
Huh. Oh, that is the full title.
That's right. That's right. America.
What?
I think Dana again. Yeah.
Amerigo Vespucci.
Yes. Amerigo Vespucci was an Italian map maker and explorer, and he was really the first one who posited the idea that South America was a whole separate continent. Just reading into this, he may not have even known that it ended up being named after him, but his name started showing up around in the 1500s on maps.
He was a cartographer.
He was, among other things, a cartographer and explorer, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess Spain refused to call it America for 200 years. They felt that Christopher Columbus got slighted. Mm-hmm. But so, yes, Amerigo Vespucci. The Philippines. Karen.
King Philip of Spain?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know which.
Close. King Philip II. Okay. Yes, okay. But yeah, there's always the nitpicky part. Yes, King Philip II of Spain. All right, now we're getting into the trickier portion of the quiz here. El Salvador. And think expansively here. El Salvador. It helps if you know a little Spanish. Chris.
Is it named after Jesus H.
Christ? It is named after Jesus Christ. El Salvador means
the Savior.
Yeah, and again, the original full-length name of the country was the Province of Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the World, which has just been shortened to
El Salvador.
El Salvador, the Savior.
Right. Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. Israel.
It'd be ironic if it was also Jesus, right?
It is not Jesus. No. It is not Jesus. This one you really, it helps if you know your biblical stories.
I don't know.
It is
real. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. It was somebody who was renamed Israel. Chris.
Abraham?
Close. Close. It is. You're in the right family.
Yeah.
It was Jacob.
Oh, okay.
So Jacob, who you may remember the story, he wrestled the angel. And he wrestled the angel and God renamed him Israel, which means struggle with God.
From I should have figured that from the Joseph and the Technicolor.
I know, that's what I was
If I had just recited the libretto again, I would have got it.
Jacob. All right, we'll close out one here. A little tricky. Ireland. And it might
Aaron Gobra.
Yeah, you're on the right track. You're absolutely on the right track, Karen.
Yes.
But what does that mean?
Yeah.
We'll call it there. Aaron or Eru was a Celtic goddess.
Oh, okay.
And so the island and then later the country name comes from Eru or Erin. And I know I am absolutely butchering the proper pronunciation here for anyone listening.
Also, is a goddess a person?
Well, that's why I said at the top, they may be real historical, they may be allegorical.
Gotcha.
I warned you at the outset.
I thought you were going to do Rhodesia or something.
No,
or Monrovia. Or what that's...
Like Rhodesia, of course, named after Cecil Rhodes, but it's now Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
But that would have been on the list as well. Yeah, the Rhodes Scholar, who we talked about in an earlier episode as well.
Because of the diamonds.
Yes, that's right. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, well, good job, guys. Those are countries. They're tricky.
Didn't know any of them.
So I'm glad you asked that. I had Georgia on this list originally named after, the one belief is named after St. George, you know, like George and the Dragon and the famous story of that. But apparently that's pretty disputed now. I was doing a little more research. There are some linguists who don't think it actually comes from St. George. So it was enough in dispute. I didn't put it on the list.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So here's something fun. I don't know how this is going to go over because it's more of a puzzle and it's completely untested. So let's see how you guys do. I'm calling this puzzle Brainy Words. Every word I'm looking for you guys to give me contains the letters B-R-A-I-N in that order, but not necessarily contiguously.
Okay.
All right.
Man, that sounds like a lot of work coming up with this.
So, for example, if I were to say surveillance, you might say observation.
Okay.
Yeah. Ready?
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens.
All right.
Brutal.
Brutal.
The blanks invaded the city.
Oh.
Colin.
Barbarian?
Yes. Yeah. Quiver.
Quiver. See, it's
as
like
in, as
the
in,
arrows?
As in a shaking. Dana.
Vibration.
Vibration.
Yeah.
Scrape.
Scrape.
Colin.
Abrasion.
Yes.
Wow.
Bibliothecary. Dana.
Librarian.
Yes. Partnership.
Not cooperation.
Two musicians might work together and you would call it Dana.
Collaboration.
Collaboration.
Yes.
A settlement of dispute. Dana again.
Arbitration.
Arbitration. Finally, something deviating from normality. Dana.
Aberration.
Yeah,
aberration.
Yes. It took too long. I gotta jump in there.
You guys are good.
So let me try these on.
I thought
you,
of some of these before he started. I was like, oh, like librarian? But I didn't say
She was building up a stockpile.
Yeah. When you think about it, when you think about it in your mind, you can kind of see words forming. There are not very many anagrams of the word brain, as I found when I was playing around with the word to see what I could do here. But if you add letters to the word brain, you can get anagrams. So if I add a G to the word brain, can you think of what word that might be?
Bearing.
Bearing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I-N-G.
Right out of the park. If I add a Y to the word brain,
not
brain, but a word that is not brainy, way of binary. Counting things, binary, we go. And finally, adding an S to the word brain give us brains. But it might also give us a word that means children.
Barons.
Barons. Mm, there we go. Mm-hmm. It's a Scrabble word.
Dana, you're so good.
And those are the... wow, you're really good at anagrams.
Like
just, you have a brain for it.
Just yeah, like, you're like John Nash.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But with anagrams. Mm.
Well, anyway, perfect. That's my brainy words quiz.
Nice.
Only I can make that a marketable skill.
All right, great. And that's our show, our all quiz number 7. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, the listeners, for listening in, and hope you guys learn a lot about burgers and countries named after people and movies, scores, and also the Bartman. And you can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And you can also find us on Twitter and also on Facebook. Special thanks to our sponsors, Bonobos, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.